RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Everyone knows Cooks has been a very successful player for years in the NFL now. And so he's got the reputation, the cachet, and I'm not telling everybody he's Odell Beckham from his heyday, but now defensively teams will have to say, hey, when Cooks is on the field, we got to make sure we stay on top, because if we're not, they will throw him the ball down the field. So I do think that just creates some more space. We also haven't seen a healthy Kincaid or a somewhat impactful Kincaid and Cooks really on the field that much. And so I think that's another element to this offense that I'm intrigued about and excited about.
Fingers crossed. Dan Orlovsky once again here with us today on a clip. That's from One Bills Live. Brandon Cooks, 6 targets against Philadelphia, 5 in his previous 4 games with the Bills for 1 catch. But Sunday, 4 for 101. It's a little bit, I don't want to say like something that makes me want it, you know, different ways, be duplicitous about this, because at the root of the complaint that we've complained about, we've talked about every day, it feels like for so long, is getting the ball down the field. And on Sunday, the Bills did that with Cooks. But they were both like such tough plays, especially the second one, which reminded me of David Tyree's catch. I mean, watch that Cooks catch, and it's good. But watch that second long one to him late in the game in slow motion, and the defender is like all over it. He just cannot separate Cooks from the ball. So a really good job there, but not how you really necessarily want to live, just needing those kinds of low percentage passes. What I meant at the beginning was, well, I want some of that. I mean, I want the Bills to make plays down the field, to want to, and maybe they will need Brandon Cooks for that. It just doesn't look like, I don't know, it's unfair, the 49ers, where Pearsall or Jennings or Kittle when he's healthy or even McCaffrey are just running open. And is it because Juwan Jennings is so good or Ricky Pearsall is so good? It shouldn't be because they've established the run or any of that nonsense. I mean, the Bills have the leading rusher in the NFL. How is it that, well, that one team anyway, looks like it's so easy to get guys open and free down the field, and the Bills just never seem to be able to do it, at least on a consistent basis? So, yeah, maybe Brandon Cooks is the ticket, or Kincaid. We talked about him some yesterday. Cooks turned 32 in September, but looks like he still has some juice. I'm Mike Shope. Thanks for listening. Bulldog is off today. 803-0550 for your thoughts. I mean, a wide range of options for you. The playoff picture, the, well, Cooks, the passing offense is always a hot discussion. And anything else with the Bills and their chances here going forward. Ross Tucker coming up at 4. We'll have Tyler Dunn today at 5. Paul Hamilton on the Sabres later on. Here is Mario next. Hello.
Hey, Shope. How you doing?
Good.
Good. Hey, I'm a Jacksonville native now, and just wanted to talk about the Jags. You asked right before the break, what do the Jags look like? They're pretty consistently good at almost everything. It's not very flashy. They do a lot of, like, slant passes and out routes, but if you watch their games, they play close to pretty much everyone. Like, the Colts almost beat them with Phillip Rivers this weekend, and you don't really know what they're gonna get. I can tell you a lot of my Jags friends here, the last team they want to play is the Bills right now, because they haven't faced anyone near Allen aside from Mahomes early in the year when they got a Monday night win. So I'm not sure. I'd rather go to New England, I think, just because we know that team. But I don't know if the Jags are quote-unquote scary. I know Joe is thinks they're the best team in the AFC, but I don't really know what to expect with them because they're kind of average, but they're doing it consistently, if that makes sense.
I guess, sure. I think the best team in the conference is New England. And that doesn't mean that there can't be advantages to playing them versus Jacksonville or Denver or someone else. But New England has proven a lot. They also had a slow start. They and Denver and Jacksonville all started not great and are now sitting as the teams with the best three records in the conference. I think there's a credibility with Vrabel and an upside with May that makes them less appealing as an opponent. The Bills have beaten them this year, yes, in Foxborough. I don't think it's unwinnable. And I do think it's really close. I think that's been the theme of these conversations is that, I mean, even if it's the Ravens in the first round, you're looking at, you know, less than perfect teams with varying amounts of experience and credibility in the playoffs and upside, like with May. I mean, I think it's pretty easy. I don't want this to end at, like, there's just no possible right answer, but I think it's pretty easy to make bull and bear cases for every matchup. You know, Denver might not be round one, but you also might have to get there eventually. If the Bills are the six and they win in Jacksonville, say, New England beats L.A. as the two, 4-5 happens, then it's Denver in week two. And, you know, what do you think? It's Bo Nix, not great. The Bills took them out easily in last year's playoffs at home. You've got a couple of stars on that defense, but, you know, they've got R.J. Harvey or they've got, I don't know, Troy Franklin. I mean, Sutton at this point. These are all matchups. The Bills are not above this for me. And maybe they are for you. Maybe it's as simple as Josh Allen, playoff pedigree, and none of these other teams really rises up to that. It's not so much that way for me. I just think you could imagine any of these games being really close. They probably should be. The spread will reflect that. Whoever it is that the Bills play in any of these rounds, it'll probably be a field goal line or shorter. And then it's about the one play or the one edge you can find that puts you over the top. And that's really going to come down. I mean, it's all this is obvious. It comes down to coaching and game plan and adjustments. It comes down to turnovers and not just making that one mistake. And then you need Allen to be at his best. And he wasn't at his best against Philadelphia. He's taking a lot of hits. He's got somewhat of an injury. That's even with Allen in question. So it's really hard to be able to, for me anyway, to lock in on this is what I want. This will be the way. This opponent. I just think it's all so close that it's going to be tough to do that. And I think it's interesting this year that the NFC is kind of the same way. I brought the Bears up to Jeremy when he was on for the reverse AFC power rankings. I mean, they've had largely kind of a lucky season, but now they're playing the big boys close and beating a couple of them. They won in Philadelphia decisively. They were one play away from winning in San Francisco. I don't want to rule out the possibility of that team winning the conference. You know, I think you have 14 teams in the playoffs, and there might be three, maybe at the most, that I would want to discount. I think I'd want to discount the Steelers if they're in. I just don't see any way they win, you know, three playoff games. I think they do well to win one. I think Carolina, forget it. NFC South, whoever it is, probably forget it. Tampa Bay at least has some weaponry where maybe they have a good day and can score with a better team. I don't think Carolina has that potential at all. And after that, I mean, there are 14 teams in the playoffs. That's two. Who's the third worst? mean, you're talking about a Green Bay team that does a lot well, or the Chargers maybe, which have 11 wins. I don't know. Like, that's what we've got this year. And I welcome it. The last 2 years in the AFC, the same four teams have finished first. Buffalo, Baltimore, Houston, Kansas City.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
And there's a chance that all four division winners will be different this year. Two we know will be. And then it's up to Jacksonville to beat Tennessee. Then that will be different if they do that. And if the Steelers win at home against the Ravens, then it's the Steelers. So four different division winners. I enjoy that. I like the variety. That's the NFL I'm used to. And as somebody that predicts this league or even bets on it, this is the way I usually lean. Like, that, it's not the kind of league where teams can just stay on top for a long period of time. The Bills and the Chiefs and the Ravens also have kind of proven that wrong somewhat in the last few years. But this year, very different. No Kansas City at all. We'll see about Baltimore. Bills going in as a wild card. Here's Ray next. Hi, Ray.
Hi there, Mike. Hi. You know, we know the Bills have a good team, but I got to tell you, why should I be confident when, and I'm not questioning you, but in general, I'm questioning myself. Why should I be confident in what they're going to do? It's been inconsistent. You know, God forbid we don't come out in the second half and be an offense, because we know the first half, for the most part, has been a dud. You know, and this whole wide receiver separation thing, well, then I guess we have a problem the next few years, because we're going to have to make a wholesale change, right, of all five, six guys? I mean, it's just something's deeper than just the immediate problem. And I got to tell you, I'm going to be really ticked if the Patriots lose this Sunday because we didn't make a routine throw like a pitcher does when he comes off the mound to his right and throws it to first base. I'm not blaming Allen, but I'm just, you know, when you look back at one silly play, I'm hoping the Patriots win just so I don't have any regret in life. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you feel that way, but that's how I'm looking at it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, how could you not blame Allen for that throw? And that was just all on him, I would say. But I think if New England loses, it might be because they take their foot off the gas for this game, because the Chargers are doing that, which is almost, you know, might think gifting Denver a win, and then New England is left with, all right, well, what's left here for us to shoot for? Now, if they were to play their full complement and lose to Miami, then, you know, you'll be where you want to not be. But I would be shocked if that happens. I could see, I mean, it's the name of the game this week, is what do teams do with their situations? And what do you think of the possibility that New England, which is the two, and it has a chance at the one, only if Denver loses, could fall to the three, that they take it easy this week? I don't hate it. I think it's really a sign that what coaches and teams want the most is rest. Now, we have to see what happens first. I don't think Jacksonville is going to rest anybody because they need to win for their division title. And Houston will probably go hard, because if Jacksonville loses, then they have a look at that. Although maybe Houston is another team that goes, yeah, they're not going to lose to Tennessee. That's just a little bit more than I'm used to with this league. But I think what you've got here, Philadelphia, it sounds like they want to slow play it, with the difference between the 2 seed and the 3 seed at stake. That's not a small thing. That's either, say, if the favorites win, or the home teams at least win, hosting the Bears or going to Chicago. And those feel like very different things, but they've played Chicago at home and they got blasted. They'd rather have their guys in to the best extent they can control it, in top form. And I think we're seeing that. We'll see what happens the rest of the week and come Sunday. The Chargers doing that. Now, Herbert's been hurt. He's got a broken left hand, right? I mean, they're just not doing that only because it's safer. They've also got a guy, their most important player, is damaged. I don't know. That's kind of what it smells like to me, is that, and this is including the Bills, that they would rather just not, okay, well, you can go from a 6 to a 5 or a 7 to a 6 or a 3 to a 2 even. And I think teams sound like they really are not prioritizing that over the break they can give some of their players. Ross Tucker coming up at 4 might be a good question for Ross, this one. I'm Mike Shope. Thanks for listening. Also, we'll talk to Tyler Dunn and Paul Hamilton later. This is WGR.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free, so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.